Welcome back to Master the Marketplace with Caspian.
Hi there, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Master the Marketplace with Caspian. I'm Kunal Chopra, your host, and we have a special guest with us today, George Reed, the founder of The Listing People, an Amazon-focused educational platform to help brands succeed on the platform. George, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kunal. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on. I spoke to another one of your colleagues recently on my podcast, so it's great to kind of return the favor and speak to yourself and some other members of the team, and hopefully I can deliver some value today.
Of course, of course. Your perspectives will be highly valued by our viewers and our listeners today. So, you know, we're going to talk about the three pillars of running a sustainable business: operations, brand, and advertising. And I'd love to get your perspectives on that. But, you know, before we get started, George, maybe tell people a little bit about yourself, your background, and even then, you know, a little bit about your business.
Sure. So I guess I started my Amazon journey at Amazon, kind of essentially as a grad, going in and joining the seller side of the business as an account manager. I was quite fortunate to be able to work on a number of different teams or within a number of teams. So whether that was FBA, Seller Fulfilled Prime, Amazon Business. So really exciting to kind of spend just under 2 years at Amazon. Upon leaving then, I started doing some consulting work and slowly built out what was initially an agency is now moved more into the educational side of the Amazon world, which is what we do now, our Launchpod Academy. And that focuses more on teaching people and educating them on the inner workings of Amazon and how to build sustainable success. And it's really split into two. On one side, you've got the training with courses, roadmaps, quizzes, checklists. On the flip side, you've got that community element with a really comprehensive forum, live workshops, and a new introduction of clubs recently, where we get people who are selling in a similar niche, less than five people every month. We bundle together and we kind of sit down, similar to what we're doing now, share ideas, what's working, what's not, and also try to provide a bit of accountability for them solopreneurs out there who need someone else to kind of put their arm around them every now and then and say, right, we're in a similar situation to you, let's see if we can solve this problem or give you some ideas. So education now is a big focus for me. And that's kind of where the bread and butter is. There's other stuff going on as well, but for the time being, education is the one.
That's awesome. And you know, you spoke a lot about community, which I believe strongly is core to, you know, learning as a whole. And so how would you say that, you know, your platform differentiates itself from maybe other communities out there? Like, why not just go to a Facebook group or something like that?
It's such a good question. So when we initially started, it was kind of like the get it up there, get it launched, get going. And it was a basic platform and then a Facebook group, which is quite traditional now. But the more I delved into education, I understood a little bit about what creates a very good learning experience. So we go to Facebook traditionally to be social, and it can quickly become a dark black hole of just information that takes us over, if you've watched the Social Dilemma thing on Netflix recently. Mm-hmm. So it's not a very good place for you to go and learn. So like, you don't sit in university and one screen you've got your Facebook up and the other screen you've then got your lectures up. It doesn't create a very good learning experience for you. So we then transitioned across to more of a forum-like software, built everything custom, so we created the whole experience from scratch, and that provides a bit more structure. So whether it's getting feedback on something and there being a specific forum just for that, and you're sharing your pictures, you're sharing your inserts, you're sharing your packaging, your copy, whatever it happens to be, or whether it's a what should I be doing about my keywords, where shall I start, and then three or four people jumping in. But it's more structure than a Facebook group, where I think should be left for social elements. Whereas this is more a curated learning experience, which focuses on the actual experience of learning and going there knowing that when you log onto that platform, you are going to learn about Amazon. You're not going to look at dog videos at the same time. You're going to learn about Amazon.
Right. That's interesting. And so do you have like experts within like from your side that are monitoring these forums, or it's just purely community driven?
So it's largely driven by myself and a few others, a handful of others, and that's kind of other ex-Amazon people like myself, other consultants in the industry, and that's building over time. And I think my vision ultimately is to kind of have 10 or 20 really strong experts that I put my name behind, whose opinion I trust, because there is a lot of noise in this Amazon world, particularly on LinkedIn, and it can be quite confusing for someone who is looking for a sound source of information that they can trust. That's quite difficult in my opinion. So that's what I wanted to kind of curate on my platform as well. So that's going to build over time. But for the time being, we've got around about 5 experts, I would say, in different kind of niches.
And do you support everything Amazon, right? From, you know, advertisement, selling, listings, all the way to supply chain. And maybe that should lead us to this next piece of, you know, the conversation today is like all the 3 pillars of what we want to talk about. Do you support them all?
Yes. Obviously, what you're referring to there is I've essentially built out this mountain strategy, then your brand, then your advertising. So I try to structure our training around that because that's what I believe. If you nail those pillars, you're in a strong place. So we're looking to continuously support. I would say we're probably better on the branding and the advertising at the moment. And we have a good understanding of the operational fundamentals. When you get more nitty gritty on supply chain, it's probably an area of a weakness, but it's an area we're looking to become better at. So you can get the fundamentals, but if you really want to go nitty gritty, there's certainly some referrals I can make on there. So we have a couple of other experts coming in to help on that. But they're the 3 pillars, and we look to build the whole portal around that.
Great. So let's dig a little deeper into the 3 pillars. I mean, let's talk about maybe branding. So what's your perspective on brand as it relates to Amazon, either Amazon or just, you know, for a product, for a brand as a whole? Like, let's just talk about, like, what do you think, like, what's your perspective on brand?
Sure. So for me, a brand is every touch point you have. So I call them brand touch points. Any opportunity where you're engaging or interacting with your potential customer or current customer. And that can also be kind of an experience as well. So every brand experience that you have. So a touch point would be when they first see your image within the search results, touch point 1. Touch point 2, maybe then they're clicking through and you've got the full product detail page. It's a series of touch points there, from copy to video to graphics. Then if you look further down the funnel, and we will go back up, but if you look further down the funnel, they've made the purchase. What's that experience like? Is the unboxing a nice experience? That's a touch point in itself. It's the first time they're holding your item. Is it a cheap box? Is it recyclable? Like, all of these things kind of come into it, which helps you build marginal gains for you as a brand and helps you build that brand moat, as I say. And then when you look further up the funnel as well, when we're thinking about those people who are not necessarily problem aware yet or not a solution aware, how are you interacting with them there? And that's where your kind of social channels come in. So there's such a wide array of brand touch points, and essentially every interaction you have with a customer or a potential customer, and how are you building that out to ensure that you've got this nice brand moat, and it's nice and deep and it's nice and wide, which really kind of secures you a foundation and a niche and a category or whatever it happens to be. That's my mindset when it comes to brand in this capacity.
Yeah, I think it makes sense, right? I mean, when we talk to companies sometimes, they talk about, you know, they talk about their brand as it relates to a marketplace or as it relates to a particular, like on Walmart, or, you know, what's your brand on Amazon? And I mean, my opinion is your brand is, like you said, like it's how your customer experiences you, you know, and that's not going to happen only on Amazon. It's going to happen across all the different channels that your customer will interact with you. And so when you do your trainings with folks, you know, as part of your platform, do you talk about that general philosophy of, you know, coming up with a strategy around not just Amazon, but across different marketplaces, across online? You know, how do you think about it from a multi distribution channel approach?
I think it comes down to, I mean, one of the big questions I've been asking recently on my podcast is building sustainable success. And that key word sustainable is often overlooked. Now, if you want to build success on Amazon, you don't necessarily need a brand. You can get some quick wins. But in order to build that foundation, that sustainable success, you can't just focus all your resources and energy on Amazon. Your brand needs to have a presence across multiple platforms, but then it's carefully weighing up, trying to do too many and spreading yourself too thin. So ensuring that you're nailing your website, then nailing Amazon, then nailing Walmart or eBay or whatever. But from a brand perspective, it's you can't just go, we're just going to have an Amazon presence, because that's not really a brand. You need that strong website presence. You need a strong social presence, because customers are looking for brands ultimately, and Amazon want you to have one as well. So they're not just looking on Amazon, discovering you and going, that's the end of the experience. I think they are then going, well, do they have an Instagram? Do they have a social following? Can I trust them? Particularly as we get more and more sellers coming across from China, and kind of other areas around that part of the world introducing products, it allows you to truly differentiate if you've got all those other kind of assets in place. Like you've got a strong social following, you're continuously releasing engaging content across multiple platforms, you've got a really good website where you're building up sales there as well, and you're not relying on just Amazon or just one marketplace. And that's where the brand extends a bit further in going, it's a much broader picture. And I think for you to achieve sustainable success on Amazon, you can't just be on Amazon, because it's also a single point of failure. Like if Amazon suspends your top seller for whatever reason, then your whole business is almost over. So you can't have that single point of failure. So I don't know if I actually answered the question there. I end up going roundabout.
No, you did. You did. This was very useful. And where would you focus if you had to prioritize, right? So if I'm a product that is, say, let's take a use case. So I'm new to market. I'm trying to introduce my new product to market. You know, I can't get to sell offline right now, like brick and mortar. You know, my focus is online only. Like, how would you go about that? Would you set up a social channel first? How would you start that process?
I think the foundation is two parts. So first and foremost, you've got to think about your operations, because you're not going to be able to fulfill orders if you don't have a strong operational base. So whether you're on Amazon or your own website, you need to ensure that your operations are in place and they're scalable. So it's not, okay, orders are trebled overnight. Oh God, what do we do? And the whole thing comes crashing down. You need to have the operational base in place and have that mapped out. Otherwise, it doesn't really matter which channel you choose, you're going to fail without that. The second piece for me would then be building out your content assets. Doesn't matter what channel you're looking to be on, you're going to really need very strong content. And that's like graphics, your videos, your copy, all of these things. That's going to apply to both Amazon, your website. With regards to which channel I'd go to first, it really comes down to each individual category. It comes down to how much money you've got to throw at it, how competitive is it. There's certainly merit in going, let me go to Amazon first because I'm looking to acquire customers, and it's very good to acquire customers on Amazon because of the conversion rates and the visibility you can get. We can then acquire those customers and send them to our own website where we're going to do subscribe and save, for instance, if we think grocery. On the flip side, there's also merit to going to the website first, building out that strong presence on a website, building out sales, building out an email list, and then going to Amazon and going, we're not relying on advertising as much to get going because we can already send our email list there. We can already send our social following there. So you're playing a slightly different game on the advertising piece. So really, for me, comes down to the category, how much money you've got to throw at this, as well as a number of other things. But I think a good rule of thumb is some people try and do too many things at once. Instead of going, I'm going to launch with one product, and this is a discussion in itself, how many products is good to launch with. I'm going to launch with one product. I'm going to launch on one marketplace. I'm going to make it pretty much brilliant, and then I'm going to go on to the next thing. Rather than going worst case scenario, I want to do Walmart, I want to do eBay, I want to do Amazon, I want to do my website, I also want to do bricks and mortar, I also want to distribute, I'm going to do them all at once, and I'm pretty much going to do a shitty job at each of them because I'm not directing or focusing on one area. And there's much more intelligent people than me who have spoken about focus, and it certainly applies here. So you can utilize the assets and your energy to do two channels, perhaps website and Amazon. But if you start playing Amazon and Walmart, Amazon and eBay, when it becomes much more complicated for you to do a really good job, I think you can make your life a little bit harder. So it comes down to focus and capital and category. So it's not a perfect answer, but it's what I believe.
Oh, absolutely. Makes sense. I mean, at the end of the day, you're not just selling product, you're running a business. And when you're running a business, you'll have to think about the elements of business strategy, which is, well, you need capital, who are your competitors, you know, how is that category growing? So all these completely make sense. Like, you've got to approach it just like you would approach any business. Mm-hmm. And so I think that is key. Okay, great. So let's talk about operations a little more, because I agree that it's very key. Now, how do you define, or how would you break apart what operations really means? Like, is there a framework that you think about when it comes to, you know, what are the different elements of operations that I should be putting together if I'm a brand?
Sure. I think first and foremost, it's what we traditionally think of as operations, which would be your fulfillment. So how are you going to get that product to the customer in a timely manner based on their delivery expectations once they've made that purchase? That's a big crux in this. So with Amazon, obviously, you're looking at fulfillment by Amazon was traditionally the solution for that. And that's something we'd always advise. So solution, that can answer a lot of your problems, certainly. But then when you start looking at other pieces now of what's happened over the last 6 months of Amazon going, new product, you're only allowed to send 200 units in at a time, it becomes a bit of a pickle for you. So you need to have your then merchant solution in terms of the kind of 3PL or something set up to fulfill orders in a different way. So fulfillment is a big piece of that. Doing so in a timely manner as well. Then it comes on to communication with those customers. So if it's your website, obviously, how are you communicating with Amazon? You have a certain degree of communication, but when you look at once the product's delivered, you then go, okay, what operational pieces do you have in play there? So what you're looking to achieve is acquire some sort of touch point from that customer in an ideal way, which could be a messenger bot subscriber, it could be an email, because that's going to be building up your assets, the business. You know, we've now got 10,000 emails. We can utilize that. We can get customer lifetime value. This comes into your operational piece because when you're getting your products manufactured, what are you including inside of the product, inside of the packaging, on the packaging as a call to action to get that customer to come and interact with you? So a lot of people are so enthusiastic to get the product into Amazon, for instance, if you're sending it into FBA, that they overlook this piece. And then they go, well, how are we going to get reviews and how are we going to get lifetime value? And it certainly is a gray area, but it comes into your operations because you need that in place. And that could be an insert. It could be a QR code. It could be a link. It could be a scratch card or whatever. And I talk about product inserts quite a lot as well on LinkedIn. Kind of it's a big opportunity to connect with that customer. And it comes into your operations. On the supply chain side of things, I don't dig into too much because I'm just not expert enough on that. Obviously, having a strong supply chain, having good relationships with the suppliers, ensuring that you've got a good cash flow because of the terms that you've got set up are all kind of prerequisites. But on the supply side, I'm certainly not an expert, so I wouldn't like to comment any further on that because there are better people to ask about it.
Well, that makes sense. What's your perspective on, you know, utilizing, say, Amazon's warehouses versus going to a third-party logistics provider like maybe a Deliverr or, you know, MyFBA Prep or one of these out there? Like, I mean, of course, you know, costs are a big factor as well. But I just would love to get your perspective on just utilizing these different warehouse solutions out there.
I think it all comes back to Amazon's baby, which is Prime, like without any shadow of doubt. And it takes me back to kind of literally doing the sales pitch when at Amazon, getting sellers to sign up to Prime is you're getting more discoverability. Your conversion rates are much higher. And you're targeting people who have got are dedicating a higher share of their wallet to Amazon. So you're targeting them kind of like, dare I say it, prime customers, because they're better for you as a business because they spend more on Amazon. So Prime is the big piece here. You want high conversion rates because that's going to help your advertising. It's going to help your flywheel spin. It's going to help you go up the sales rank. And you also want to be as discoverable as possible because that's also going to help sales rank. It's going to help your sales come in full stop. So Prime is where it starts and finishes. The challenge then comes with a number of limitations of Prime as well. And this is where your third party things can offer another solution. So when we look to, so an example recently, I'm working with a client and they're challenged because the margins are getting smaller and smaller on Amazon. They're getting squeezed and they really want to push into bundles a bit more. And bundles are obviously an excellent opportunity to pretty much get the same sort of fulfillment costs, but ramp up that basket size. However, it can be challenging to go, okay, what do we bundle together? We don't know what customers want. And Amazon have introduced virtual bundles, which are in theory great on the FBA side of things, but you're not getting any savings on the shipping. So you don't actually change your margins in any way whatsoever. In time, I'd like to see, and I expect we will see, when Amazon actually have the resources to dedicate towards this. They're a little bit overwhelmed at the moment. Virtual bundles where you get savings in the FBA fees. When that comes, the bundling is going to become much better. But for the time being, you can utilize these third-party solutions to bundle, experiment, play with different ideas, introduce seasonal things a little bit more easily, split test with the type of packaging you're using or the insert that you're using. And that's what you get, in my opinion, from some of the third-party solutions. But are you sacrificing that Prime badge? Quite often, yes, unless they sell a full Prime, which isn't always the best solution. Depends what sort of products you sell. But that's something you've got to weigh up. But it all comes down to Prime, in my opinion, and how much margin you're making full stop.
Right. On Seller Fulfill Prime, like you don't think that's a good program, or like what are your thoughts on that particular program?
So like I was part of the team that was helping to set it up in the UK many moons ago, and like my friend in the UK team at Amazon is managing the team now. And even looking at it relatively recently, the costs just come in. This is in the UK, for argument's sake, which is arguably a better place to sell a full Prime than many other marketplaces. And the costs come in just quite high. So it comes down to if you sell a very wide range of goods, and it can be quite tricky to predict inventory, what inventory you want to send into Amazon, or if you're selling kind of bulkier, heavier goods, I believe it's more of a solution. But I do know some top sellers in the UK where they've got like literally top 10 sellers in the UK are solely utilizing Seller Fulfill Prime just because they've got such a mass range. They don't ever need to worry about long-term storage fees, inventory planning, all of that sort of stuff. But they can do this incredibly well because of the volume they ship, so they can get slightly better rates, I believe. And also because their operations are set up brilliantly. So there's never going to be an issue with performance metrics, which can quickly take down your Seller Fulfill Prime operation. So I think in theory, it's a great solution. And if you listen to my podcast recently with David Glick, who was director of Amazon Transportation, you know, he basically says Amazon is a logistics company. And the way you look at where they're investing their time, their energy, their resource themselves, you can kind of see that. Like they've continuously invested in Prime with the initial kind of startup, and now they're looking more at kind of electric vehicles, building out their own fulfillment fleets. And the UK is certainly a great place for them to test it. So I think Seller Fulfill Prime's got a lot of potential. Is it the right solution for everyone yet? Perhaps not, just because of the costs, and you're already getting squeezed so much on margin anyway.
Right. That makes sense. That makes sense. Okay. So we've talked about, you know, two pillars, you know, setting up your brand, getting your operations right. Let's talk about the third pillar on advertisements. So what's your perspective there? You know, advertising on Amazon, off the platform, through search engines. I mean, how do you think about advertising as a whole if you want to say direct traffic to Amazon?
Sure. So the way I see it is like an inverted pyramid. And there's quite a few books on this, essentially, where at the bottom of that pyramid, you've got, they're saying, a lot of people, and research shows it as well, around about 3% of your whole market who are potentially want your product, 3% are ready to buy right now. They are hot, they are problem aware, they are solution aware, and they are in hunt mode looking for your product. Those are the people who are mostly on Amazon. Like, they're going to Amazon to find that product, which could be, I've run out of deodorant, I'm now smelling, I need to go buy some deodorant. I'm going on to Amazon. I am in hunt mode. And that is the 3%, which is great. And that's why advertising on Amazon is a brilliant solution, because you're able to get them right at that point when they're in hunt mode. And granted, you're starting to pay more and more for that privilege, and the competition is getting more aggressive, but the features are continuously rolling out and the platform is continuously getting more complex, which is good if you're good at Amazon advertising, not so good if you're struggling to stay afloat and keep your head above the water. But it's great for that. And I think Amazon advertising is going to get better and better and better. But when we think about the full market, we're only actually really grabbing about 3%. You could argue as it becomes more sophisticated, people are using Amazon to browse more. You could get them when they're slightly higher up the funnel, when they're perhaps problem and solution aware, but not really in hunt mode yet. You can certainly get them on Amazon now, and you need to utilize some of the more advanced features available on DSP, as well as kind of some product targeting. So if someone is viewing a child's toy, which is 0 to 2, perhaps they'll also be interested in the future diapers, for argument's sake. And that's where you're looking slightly up the funnel a little bit, and we're seeing that more and more. But in order to go right the way up the funnel to that very top where someone perhaps isn't problem aware, or isn't solution aware, so it could be, let's say I've got massively overweight during lockdown and COVID. I haven't really realized it's a problem yet necessarily, but perhaps I want some resistance bands and fitness supplements at some point in time, but I don't know it yet. I'm not problem aware. I don't know this is going to be my solution either. So adverts on social is going to be able to start putting people into your funnel. So it could be an advert around get rid of that lockdown gut, for instance, or get healthy post-lockdown, these sorts of things. And you're looking to kind of grab people wherever they are scrolling, which could be Facebook, could be TikTok, could be whatever, and looking to pull them into your funnel. They're not necessarily problem aware. They don't know that they really need to lose it yet, but you're bringing them into the funnel and then you're looking to nurture them. Some of them are going to move through that funnel very quickly, right the way to, I'm in hunt mode now. And when they're in hunt mode, you're front of mind because you've been nurturing them over time with retargeting ads on social platforms, with continuous emails, which are going through and delivering value. So when it comes to, okay, I'm now problem aware, I've put on a bit of poundage, perhaps I need to be looking for a solution, and I keep getting these emails of 2 workouts this week, and it's like, oh, you can do it at home, brilliant. I keep getting that email once a week to do. Okay, I'm interacting with this brand, George's Supplements, and I'm slowly kind of building an affinity with this George's Supplements. And then eventually when it comes down to the position where I am, maybe solution aware as well. I know they've got a problem. I know I need a solution for this, which could be some supplements. George's Supplements are putting a deal on. George's Supplements are doing a special offer. George's Supplements are doing subscribe and save. And you're already front of mind. You've already built up some affinity. You've already built up a connection with them. And you're looking to kind of push people down that funnel where it's very big at the top, and you brought them in, and not some people may stay there for 3 years, and you're slowly filtering them down to that 3% at the bottom. But that is a longer play. Brands that are able to achieve that, like the bigger brands obviously do it, it's more difficult for smaller brands, but that is where you start playing a different game, because you're not competing for that 3% on Amazon. You're looking further up the funnel, where you can perhaps get cheaper clicks, you can acquire email addresses, which is an asset that far too many Amazon brands don't have. You can acquire Messenger subscribers, which is great because open rates are much higher. You can build traffic to your website where you can do particular offers. But what you can also do is manipulate that that experience of them going to buy on Amazon, which is going to allow you to get sales ranked more effectively. So a lot of people will just go Facebook ad straight to Amazon. Here's my page. But when that person goes to make a sale, the Amazon algorithm is giving you a little bit of a boost, sure, because you made a sale. But there's a lot more other things you could be doing to make that sale much more valuable. So let's say we tell the customer to go search supplements, find this one. You know, George's supplements, I've been in your inbox for the last 3 months. Find my one, click buy. A much more organic process is search, find, buy, which in turn tells the algorithm that the customer has gone on and searched for fat loss supplements or lockdown supplements, and I've been the solution to their problem, is feeding that A9 beast, saying, okay, well, they're relevant for this search term. Let's push them up the ranks a little bit. If you rinse and repeat this over and over again, which you can do by building out the funnel, then you can utilize the traffic you're getting from off of Amazon. So I realized that was quite a massive piece of
a
paragraph I've given you there, but that's the kind of two ways of looking at it, in my opinion.
Yeah, and so George, to dig a little deeper on the folks that are probably problem aware, the bottom 3% who just go to Amazon, they know exactly what they want. Are there certain categories that you would say fall better into that bucket, or is it not category specific? It's product specific.
Yeah, it's a good question. I think it is probably category specific, in my opinion, of exactly. Like a much more higher priced item, for instance. Like I was looking for an iPad recently, and I knew I wanted one. I was problem and solution aware. I was browsing, I was hunting, but I was taking a long time doing it. So the 3% isn't going to be as instant. So perhaps I need to work on me over and over again. So it's a little bit category specific, but I wouldn't say so. No, like Amazon is certainly becoming more of a browsing experience as the push stores more, because they know people want to look through different store pages and look around different and discover brands. So Amazon is certainly building up from that 3% slightly higher up. So you have more, not just hunters out there, but more people just browsing. So it is changing over time, and Amazon are facilitating that by offering more features to brands to encourage that discoverability element.
And for the other case where folks are more problem aware, they're not very solution aware yet, and would you say there are certain, again, I'm not sure if there's the right answer to this, but are there certain channels that they should be focusing on to nurture their customers? Like, where would you start? Would you start with Google Ads? Would you start with your website? You know, where would you focus your attention to just get you into this nurturing like funnel?
I think I'll kick things off. So first things first, I'm not an expert in social, but, right, and if you want to dig more into it, obviously there are better people, but the good rule of thumb is understand. And when you're creating a brand anyway, from day one, you have a solid understanding of exactly who your customer is. Where are they hanging out? What platforms are they playing around with? Where do they interact? Are they a Facebook group or a Facebook newsfeed sort of person? Once you understand that, what you, in my opinion, you should be doing is doubling down on that to begin with. So they may be very big on Pinterest, for instance. So let's say a mom who's interested in redesigning her home, and she's looking for chairs, for instance, perhaps Pinterest is the big channel for them. And that is where loads of engagement's happening. So there's kind of two ways of looking. You could split your energy across kind of Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, TikTok, LinkedIn, whatever, and dedicate a budget accordingly and see which one takes off, then hit it. That's certainly one way of doing it. Or if you've got good data and you understand exactly where they're hanging out, you can double down on your strategy there and go, right, we're going to nail Pinterest. And similar to my point earlier on about, do you go website, Walmart, Amazon, eBay all at the same time, or do you go one first? Similar sort of mindset of going, let's focus on this, let's nail this. If we get it right, we can then rinse and repeat on other channels. But it comes down to how much you understand your customers, because Facebook, like groups are becoming much, much more powerful. And you may look to join groups. You may look to build your own group and look to build a community that way. And that, with that kind of strategy, you don't need to look to pay continuously, because you're building this community where you have free engagement, free traffic, a free lead source, if you will. But yeah, to answer your question, it really depends, unfortunately, to who your target market is. Like, you, no doubt, Canal, will have a completely different way of going and finding and discovering products and browsing and being introduced to ideas than I will. I never go on Pinterest. I deleted Instagram after the social thing the other week, but I still hang around on Facebook because of business reasons. I like the news feed to read business bits and bobs. I do LinkedIn loads. So how they're targeting me, if I'm looking for an iPad, probably Facebook and LinkedIn is more of a solution. So it really comes down to that target customer.
Yeah, it's to the point we were making earlier, which is, you know, you're running a business, right? This is not about selling product, you know, and if you're running a business, you got to understand who your customer is, you know, where do they shop, what's their, you know, behaviors look like, and like all of that, right? And, you know, where the competition is, like those aspects, I think, are very critical for people to understand. Okay, great. So, I mean, this was very useful, George. I mean, I got a lot of insights, you know, from this conversation around just, you know, how do you build a sustainable business for, you know, around these three pillars of operations, brand and advertising. So, you know, before we end, I'd love to have our, you know, you tell our viewers a little bit about how do they find you if they want your services or to use, you know, your platform. Like, what's the best way to get in touch with you and your team?
Sure. So the best bet is the two main ways I communicate now is on LinkedIn, largely. So just search George Reed and you can find me, and I'm sure you'll throw a link in the description of the podcast with that LinkedIn link. Best way to reach out to me directly. And then in order to see about the services, you've got launchpodacademy.com. And in order to listen to my podcast, it's always day one, would be it's always day one.co.uk. Make sure you don't put .com for it's always day one, because it redirects to Amazon. So you want to go .co.uk.
I didn't know that. That's new to me.
It's fun experiment for you later on. I giggled when I saw it.
Fantastic. Okay, great. Well, George, thank you again for being on the show. I really appreciate it. You know, certainly great insights. And we will see everyone in another episode of Master the Marketplace soon. So thank you, everyone. Kunal here signing off. Bye-bye.
Cheers, guys.
Through conversations with experts in online retail, with years of marketing, compliance, and inventory management experience, we seek to empower our listeners to master the marketplace. Thanks for listening. We hope to see you next time on Master the Marketplace with Caspian.